news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Don Zur, Paul Rowland, and Joanna Peterson. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from the newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. Or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen for something to write with, or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Mario Haro.
And I'm Joanna Peterson. Here's what's coming up on KBOO tomorrow morning. At 8 a.m., it's the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, call-in talk radio. At 9, it's alternative radio. The show features investigative journalist Reese Ehrlich speaking on Cuba and the U.S., A New Beginning. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, news, headlines, and interviews with host Chris Andre. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints Investigative News Radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, it's Stage and Studio Today. Demay Roberts talks with three luminaries of Portland theater, Elizabeth Huffman, Louisa Sermel, and Lorraine Bear, about their production of Mary Stuart. It's a Portland premiere of an adaptation about the doomed Queen of Scots and her meeting with Queen Elizabeth I. At 11:30, it's Art Focus with host Joseph Galvin. Today, we hear an archival interview with artist and educator Judy Chicago, recorded just before the opening of her masterpiece, The Dinner Party, at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art in 1979. Thank you, KBOO members, for your ongoing support of community radio. We can only stay healthy with your help. If you're not yet a member but would like to become one, please go to KBOO FM and click where it says Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for a discussion between KBOO and Portland's Mayor Charlie Hales.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
KBOO reporter had the opportunity to sit down with Portland's Mayor Charlie Hales this past Friday. During the discussion, the reporter went outside of the bounds of his role as a reporter. The interview ended in an argument. We have decided to air the exchange in its entirety, despite the lack of objectivity on the part of the reporter. And here's that discussion.
Mayor, thanks for having us. When I was preparing for it, I asked around at some Vox Pop, what would you ask? What would you
Good.
Ask the mayor? The most common response concerns rising water rates, as you may not be surprised by. In fact, a mom I knew from grade school said they're down to one shower a week, and they're worried about losing their home to foreclosure.
Wow.
I think you can imagine a lot of people are on the edge in this economy, and doubling of the water rates is going to hurt those people. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. So there's some things we can fix, and there's some things that we can't fix. Some things we can fix are making sure that we're only spending water and sewer rate dollars on water and sewer services. And we've spent a couple years kind of cleaning that up, literally, in the budget. The other things that we can do is just look at every expenditure, both what we spend on an operating program for those bureaus and the capital investments we're making in digging up old pipes and putting in new ones, and try to string those costs out as best we can. third thing we can do, particularly for the kind of folks that you just described, is make sure that we have a low income discount system that really works for people and that they know about and that they take advantage of.
Yeah, I think those spendings outside of the delivering water, they were mostly kind of smallish.
They were, but it symbolically made people crazy and mad that, wait, what's the city doing with my money? Well, we want to be able to tell people we're only spending those dollars on their purposes.
It seems like the larger part is LT2, though.
No, the big thing is that we're paying off $1 billion-plus investment in our sewer system. Because remember, your water bill is two-thirds sewer bill.
Well, how much do you think we're spending on LT2? People say $1 billion with that structure. I think
it's hundreds of millions of dollars. No question that that's expensive. And there are still some people in town who think that we somehow could have avoided those costs. And I would have loved to have avoided those costs, but we made 6 attempts to get out from under that federal mandate, and 6 times we were told no by the federal government. You actually have to comply with that mandate, just like New York, where Senator Schumer, he was a pretty powerful guy in Congress, was not able to get them an exemption either. So everybody's subject to LT2.
We're subject to it. Rochester's not doing anything in terms of construction. They have a delay until 2028. Why can't Portland get that same?
Everything that I'm told by our federal congressional delegation is forget about it. Portland is not. Oh, yeah. We've had lots of conversations with our federal delegation, and they've told us, even though it's obviously a highly unpopular answer for some people, that we are not going to escape this federal mandate. And that's unhappy news. But when somebody tells me, when my lawyers and my congressmen and my members of Congress tell me, this is the law, you must follow it, Mayor, I don't feel like I've got much of a choice in that matter.
Although you understand that Rochester is not doing any construction related to LT2.
Well, I don't know the details about what Rochester's not doing, but again, what I'm told by everybody
Rochester's
in...
Rochester's had the same delay. Rochester's following us. We've been delaying it for a long time, too. Rochester is following the same route we are.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that there's a possibility for moving forward, because obviously both of you have misunderstandings about this. Rochester has not spent a dime towards complying with LT2. They have a delay out until 2028. We are eligible for that same delay, and we don't have it.
Yeah, I know this argument's been going on a long time in Portland, but again, what I'm told by people who are lawyers, who are the city's lawyers, who are the federal government's lawyers, is that I must follow the law in this case. And in fact, when I was sworn in as mayor, I held up my right hand and promised to follow the law and the Constitution of the United States and the state of Oregon and the laws of the city of Portland. And I take that seriously. And that doesn't mean that we don't push for change in the law where we think it's appropriate. We're doing that in the legislature right now on things like inclusionary zoning. But when the law is the law, we have to follow it. And we're told in this case,
Rochester, New York, and Portland, Oregon have very similar open reservoirs. They have very similar federal laws. Rochester is not spending a dime to cover their reservoirs.
Check with Rochester. I don't think that's not the factual situation that I'm told.
So if you understand then eventually that Rochester is indeed has this delay, that's something you might pursue.
I do. I am everyone that I've asked who knows about this issue and who's charged with the city, whether it's the Water Bureau director or the city attorney or our lobbyists or our federal congressional delegation, when they ask them about this issue, they say, we have no choice. We've asked 6 times for a waiver, and we've been told no 6 times.
Do you understand Rochester and Portland have very similar open reservoirs?
I don't know why you want to go around and around on this issue.
Because you haven't answered my question.
Sure. But my answer is I think it's against the law to not follow the federal government's mandate, and so we're following it.
Rochester has the same open reservoirs. They're subject to the same law.
Okay,
they're not spending
hundreds of millions. You can editorialize about that issue all you want.
Have you contacted Senator Merkley? I spoke to him a year ago. I asked Merkley why Portland is bearing the reservoirs and Rochester is not.
And what did he say?
His answer was because he has not heard from City Hall.
I think that's not the case. He has heard from City Hall.
Would you send a letter to Governor Brown asking for relief?
No.
Why not?
Because we have things that we need the governor to do that she can do, and she can't
give
us relief.
She's in charge of OHA. She can.
She can't give us relief from the federal government's mandates.
Pretty sure we're done here.
I think we're done with this issue.
Unless
you've
got other
stuff you want to talk about.
Let's move on to the next issue.
We had an opportunity to do that. I think we're done. Should we call it good?
Can you present Portland citizens with any evidence that the Joint Terrorism Task Force will make us safer?
What do you think? You want to stay
with I'll take a couple more questions. Sure. I agonized over the decision to rejoin the Joint Terrorism Task Force. As you know, I think you know, I voted against it the first time. I am persuaded so far, I have my finger on the kill switch on this understanding with the federal government. So far, I think that we are better served by being in this relationship with the FBI. As wary as I am about that relationship, as venal as a lot of what the federal government has done, things they've done, but I think we're marginally safer by participating in this task force.
Do you have any evidence you can give to the citizens of Portland that we're marginally safer?
No.
No. And yet we're sacrificing possibly some of our liberties because the federal law and the Oregon laws are different.
We're not sacrificing any of our liberties because our officers are under instructions from me and from our police chief to follow our policy and follow Oregon law. And if there's ever a moment when they think that those are in conflict with what they're being asked to do as participants in the Joint Terrorism Task Force, they are required to come to the chief and to me and let us know, and I'll pull the pin and we'll leave this relationship. But again, I believe that we're going to be marginally safer by having better communication with the federal government than we would have if we weren't a member of this task force. It's a very close call, and I'm watching it very closely. And if there's ever a moment when our values are compromised by participating in that, then we're out.
And how will you know that? Again, that's dependent
because
on
I'm,
two officers on the street deciding.
Well, no, it's also dependent on me getting regular briefings under a non-disclosure agreement with the federal government about what is going on in that task force and what our officers are doing. And that's why my answer to your question is, can I offer any evidence? No, I can't, because I'm under a non-disclosure agreement. But I'm the police commissioner, and I have Portland values, and I'll make sure that Portland values are applied to our police officers at all times, whether they're working with the federal government or with Beaverton. So that's the deal. That's what how it works. People elect somebody as mayor, and that person is usually the police commissioner, and their job is to make sure our values are reflected in our police officers' work, whether it's how they deal with an African American when they pull them over on the side of a road for a traffic stop, or how they deal with somebody who is being investigated by the FBI.
All the information you're getting about those two officers seems to be coming through the JTTF, and you seem to have just said that you don't really
trust
the JTTF.
It's also coming from those two officers who work for me.
And are assigned every day to the JTTF.
And
so
they
then my
still work
is,
for me.
What assurances can you give citizens that the officers will step forward, you know, especially in light of the Department of Justice finding that Portland police have a pattern and practice of abusing, you know, mentally ill people?
The Portland Police Bureau has had a pattern and practice of using excessive force with respect to mental illness, and that's why we're under the Department of Justice settlement agreement, which sits right there on my desk every day, and we're making progress in actually changing things in the Portland Police Bureau so that they don't do that anymore. But again, those officers work for me, and my job is to make sure that our values are transmitted to our officers, and I look those two officers in the face and their lieutenant as well and say, your job is to come back to me if there's ever a moment when you have a doubt about our working relationship and whether it compromises our values.
So the assurance you give the citizens of Portland that the two Portland police officers will comply with Oregon laws, you're going to look them in the eye?
Yeah. And same thing goes for every other officer in the work they do. I mean, we've got to be able to both give people instructions and then check up on them if we have any doubt that they're following them.
Chief O'Day testified before City Council, I think it was last month.
Yeah.
After his presentation, you and Commissioner Fish asked questions. After those questions, O'Day looked down and read his answers. Did you discuss with O'Day your questions before you asked them?
Nope.
Do you have any idea how he knew what you were going to ask?
They weren't strange questions. You're talking about the JTTF questions?
Yes.
Yeah. No, again, you may remember that he did not make a recommendation in public about that question until he was asked. And that's because my job was to make that decision, and his job is to carry it out. I mean, if you're looking for a conspiracy here, again, the chief works for me. We talk with each other. I agonized about this decision, and I talked to him about the decision beforehand. I told him I was having a really hard time making up my mind. And tell me the arguments in favor and tell me the arguments against it from your standpoint. And he did. And again, I have a relationship of trust and understanding with the police chief. God, we, for God's sake, we better hope I do. And he gave me his thoughts and his concerns, and I heard them, but it was my decision.
At the beginning of his testimony, Chief O'Day said it won't make us safer.
In and of itself, it won't make us safer. But having information, why do you think I did this? Do you think I did this because I like the FBI? I don't. Do you think I did this because I approve of what the federal government's been doing over the last decades and wars without cause and torture? No, I don't believe in any of those things. But I also see what happened in Copenhagen, where citizens murdered other citizens. Okay? That's terrorism, and it's deadly, and it's the worst civil liberty loss of all to be killed by someone. So I woke up lots of nights wondering if we're in danger like Paris was, or Copenhagen was, or Boston was, and where innocent civilians got killed by terrorists. Those things happened, right? We all know that. So the question is, for me, if exchanging information with the FBI might prevent one death, do I have any moral grounds to not communicate with them?
I think you have moral grounds to make a decision based on rational thought and so communicate that clearly.
What's the non-rational thought about looking at the facts that people were murdered in those three cities? People were murdered
the
there, Joe.
Is,
you know
does
that.
Does the JTTF make us safer or not?
There are
bad people in the world. The JTTF, according to most people's estimation, according to what I believe about open relationships and communication with groups like the Muslims will not talk to the FBI.
I know there's a cost.
So there's a possibility that it will make us less safe.
There is. There is a possibility that it will make us less safe.
That's what I'm saying. What can you tell the public besides
that? I believe.